Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." I had a little story for you today about a remarkable man. His name was John Muir. And John Muir lived about 100 years ago. He was a remarkable human being. He was an explorer and a scientist, and he was what we would call today an environmentalist. But then he would be called a naturalist, and he loved God's creation, and he marveled at the beauty of the world that God had made. And he wanted to preserve a great portion of that beauty, and he was responsible to going to President Theodore Roosevelt, having the national parks established in this great nation of ours. John Muir. John lived the end of the last century. When he was older, he took a trip to Alaska to explore and to see what it was like. And he and his men with him, a minister and a native Eskimo and others, paddled through the waterways of Alaska. And he wrote about his travels in Alaska. And he went and explored the glaciers of Alaska. A glacier is ice, a great heap of ice that covers the land of Alaska and northern places. Here is a piece of cake. And if this cakey part is the earth, the glacier is like ice, icing on the cake. Now, this is nice and safe here, but if I was to take that cake and start spinning it really high and putting heat on it and then thawing it out and then freezing it again, and just like the glaciers at the top of the world, as the earth is spinning and gravity is affecting it and the heat of the sun and then the freezing climate, what happens is that icing starts to move around and it is unstable. It is not safe, and it moves, and the glaciers move in the northern part of our world. And they come to places where they hit the water, and eventually they break off and fall into the ocean, and more glacier forms on the far side. Fascinating. And as they move around, they crush up forests. Forests get churned up in the glaciers. Mighty glaciers. So, like any good naturalist, John Muir wanted to explore this glacier. And one morning, he woke up early, and there was a great storm blowing outside. Rain. It was in August. And John, though, just had to go explore the glacier. Glaciers are very thick. Some can be even a mile thick. You have to climb to the top of them. So there they were on the shore of the waterway, and he would have to climb up very high to go and explore and walk on top of this icing on the cake. But he woke up, pouring rain, had a piece of bread, and off he went into this storm that was blowing sideways like this. And he walked and walked, and he didn't get too far. He turned around, and there the minister's little dog came out of the tent and started to follow him. And John Muir said, "Go back. Go back. Have your breakfast. Go back. You don't want to follow me today." But the little dog kept following him. The dog's name was Stikeen. Coming along in the storm, following his new master wherever he would go. John Muir went, and he writes long pages about how he goes, and he looks at the rocks, and he looks at the ice, and he has his ice axe, and he climbs up and looks at all the beauty and the water and the mountains till he reaches the top of the glacier. And now he's on this flat terrain of ice, as far as the eye can see, into the fog where it's lost. He can't even see the mountains on the far side. The little dog with him, Stikeen, faithful, following. John Muir wanted to go from one side of that glacier to the other. It was about 7 miles, the rain still coming down but not blowing as hard, and off he went to get to the other side. Walking on a glacier isn't safe because it moves. The ground is unstable. And even though you can't usually, hopefully, see it move, it does move all the time. I have a picture of a glacier so you can understand maybe what it looks like. Can you see? That man is standing on top of a glacier. And what you have here is a crevasse, because as it moves, it breaks, and things fall in. You can fall in, breaks, forms, breaks again, creating these zigzag lines. This is a rather tame picture of a glacier with a man standing there. But the lines zigzag across the landscape. And as you're walking, and as John Muir found out that day, he would walk and he'd come to the edge of a crevasse, and it would stretch hundreds of yards in front of him, to this way and that. You could not jump it. And he'd have to walk all the way down till it comes to its point, go around the end, and then continue on his walk until he'd come on to another crevasse. And he did this happily all day. Some of the crevasses he could just jump, even though he was older in years. I would guess he was over 70 years old when he did this little adventure. The little dog would jump over the crevasses with him. And he made it all the way to the far side of the glacier so he could see the mountains there and the waterways there and enjoy God's creation there. And it was 5 o'clock at night by the time he got there, and he had to come back now. And it was going to be getting dark. "Come, little Stikeen," and off they go back. Now, he somehow managed to come back a little different way than he'd come. The crevasses seemed much wider now and longer. He'd have to walk sometimes half a mile to find the end, to walk around it, and then walk around another one, zigzagging slowly across the landscape, trying to get home. And the little dog following. Finally, he came to one crevasse, and the narrowest part he could see was 8 feet apart, which, as he writes, was about the limit of his jumping capabilities. But at least the far side of this crevasse was about a foot lower than where he was standing. And he decided by cutting a firm little step there, he could jump and make it to the other side. And he pondered this for a while because he was afraid. What if I get to the other side of this crevasse and I find that there's something worse in front of me and I can't go back now because it's higher and I can't reverse my steps? But it's getting dark and no one knows where I am and I will freeze here all night. So he got up his nerve and he jumped over and landed on the other side. And the little dog jumped right after him and followed him. And now he's safe and it looks all clear sailing and he's much relieved that he jumped across the chasm and the little dog was by his side and he walked about 200 yards and he was faced with a great problem. Because in front of him was a crevasse, not 1 foot or 2 foot or 8 feet, but it was 40 feet across at its narrowest. How could he get across? Well, he'll have to find a narrow place. So he started to walk along the edge of this crevasse, and he walked a mile this way, and what he found was that this crevasse joined the crevasse that he had just jumped over. And he couldn't go anywhere, so he had to go back. And he walked another mile this way, and he found that, to his horror, that crevasse also joined the one he had jumped. John Muir was on a tiny little island, and he was trapped. He couldn't go back. And going forward seemed impossible. And there was the little dog with him all the way. The only place John could see where he could cross was an ice bridge that joined this side of the gigantic crevasse to the other. It was 75 feet long, and it was about as narrow as this. Top of this pew. And not only was it that narrow, but it also didn't start for about 10 feet beneath where the edge of the crevasse was. He would have to climb down there willingly and then get on this and go along it for 75 feet till he came to the other side where it also joined the far side much lower down. And he'd have to devise a way to climb up the side of that crevasse onto the other side of the glacier. Can you imagine? But down he went into the abyss. And he got on his little ice bridge and he straddled it. And he started going a bit. And as he went, he chopped away the ice in front of him to make it a way flatter so that the little dog could follow him. And on he went. And after a while, he made it to the far side. And looking up, he had to climb up there with his ice axe. He made some steps, 3 steps. Then he raised himself up and climbed the steps, and he was on the far side, safe and alive. And turning around, across the abyss was the little dog, whimpering. "Follow me," he said to the little dog. "Come. I've made a way for you to come." The little dog was terrifying. Brave little terrier, Stickeen, running up and down the edge of the crevasse, looking for some other way. There has to be another way out of this. But there was his master on the far side, and there was the little dog. We are all on a tiny island, you know. You are, and I am. We're born on it. It is our life. It's not very big, this island. Our lives are short. We cannot go back to before we were born. We're born here. And we're on an island. And the only way to get off of it is to go through death. And it is not safe there for us. And every day that island that we're on is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And here we are trapped. But there is a way across. One way. Of course, you could say, well, I'm not going to take that way until the very last moment when I have no more island left. I'll wait it out. The problem with our island is we don't know when it's suddenly just going to open up beneath us and swallow us. That man is not safe where he is. The ground beneath his feet could open up any moment and he could just fall in and not be able to get himself out. Men walking across glaciers like this, they've done wild things. They've tied radio antennas in a cross around their bodies as they walk so that if they fell in, they would stick and be able to extricate themselves from their predicament. We don't know when it will end. And so we need to make a decision to get off of this island. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. He has made a way for us to follow him. It's a safe way. He stands at the other side. He's calling to us. Sinner, follow me. I've made a way for you. Safe. John Muir was on the other side of his crevasse calling that little dog. And the little dog went down the sides carefully and got on to now this little 4-inch bridge. The little dog is going across the crevasse. His little toenails in the ice. The wind howling and threatening to suck him off of that bridge and in to doom. But John Muir stood on the other side, said, keep coming, keep coming. The little dog came and came and came. And now there's the little dog looking up and sees his new master there. The little dog jumps up the steps onto the other side and starts rolling around safe on the other side, running in circles like leaves in an eddy. As John Muir wrote, the dog was saved, was happy, obeyed the voice of his master. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them everlasting life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone, anything, pluck them out of my hand. Jesus saves. John Muir continued with his little dog now on his way home. They had no more dangers then. They were safe. They had made it to the other side. He says that when they got finally to their tents and all of their companions rejoicing that they were there safe and alive, he said, we couldn't sleep. We were so tired. And we were so glad that we were alive. He said that in the middle of the night, they would spring up, fearing that they were still on that dreadful ice bridge in the shadow of death. Read, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, nevertheless, we arose the next morning in newness of life. Never before had those rocks and ice and trees seems so beautiful and wonderful. Even the cold biting rainstorm that was blowing seemed full of loving kindness, wonderful compensation for what we had endured. And we sailed down the bay through the gray, driving rain, rejoicing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that went down into death for us. And he has made a way. He has bridged it with his cross. He's made it a safe way for us to pass from death into life. And he gives us newness of life. And Jesus saves. Our God, our loving Father, we thank thee for all the lessons we have from our lives that remind us of thy faithfulness and thy loving kindness. Father, we pray that we would not wait one moment more until we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that we would follow his voice, for he has gone before us and he has made the way. And he says, follow me, and I will give you life. Father, thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Part us now with thy blessing. In his precious name, amen.